If you turn to Zechariah chapter 14, reading verses 12 through 21, this is the word of the Lord. "And this shall be the plague with which the Lord will strike all the peoples that wage war against Jerusalem. Their flesh will rot while they are still standing on their feet. Their eyes will rot in their sockets, and their tongues will rot in their mouths. And on that day, a great panic from the Lord shall fall on them, so that each will seize the hand of another, and the hand of the one will be raised against the hand of the other. Even Judah will fight at Jerusalem. And the wealth of all the surrounding nations shall be collected, gold, silver, and garments in great abundance. And a plague like this plague shall fall on the horses, the mules, the camels, the donkeys, and whatever beasts may be in those camps. Then everyone who survives of all the nations that have come up against Jerusalem shall go up year after year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Booths. And if any of the families of the earth do not go up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, there will be no rain on them. And if the family of Egypt does not go up and present themselves, then on them there shall be no rain. There shall be the plague with which the Lord afflicts the nations that do not go up to keep the Feast of Booths. This shall be the punishment to Egypt, and the punishment to all the nations that do not go up to keep the Feast of Booths. And on that day there shall be inscribed on the bells of the horses, Holy to the Lord. And the pots in the house of the Lord shall be as the bowls before the altar. And every pot in Jerusalem and Judah shall be holy to the Lord of hosts, so that all who sacrifice may come and take of them and boil the meat of the sacrifice in them. And there shall no longer be a traitor in the house of the Lord of hosts on that day." This is the word of the Lord. The day of the Lord, the day of Zechariah chapter 14, is a day of salvation and judgment. It is a day of salvation through judgment. And the result of that day, the result of that judgment, is not the same for all mankind. For the people of God, it is a day of great blessing. It is a day of eternal blessing. But for the enemies of God, it is a day of great curse. A day of eternal curse. Last Lord's Day, we saw how the Exodus echoes throughout Zechariah chapter 14. As in the Exodus, the people of God plunder their enemies, gathering together the wealth of the nations around them. As in the Exodus, the plague of Zechariah chapter 14 falls upon not only the enemies of God, but also upon their beasts. As in the Exodus, Zechariah chapter 14 mentions in particular the people of Egypt as that people in danger of this plague if they do not submit to the will of the Lord. And as in the Exodus, the deliverance of the people of God from their enemies results in their observance of the Feast of Tabernacles, a feast in which the people of God were to remember how the Lord caused them to dwell in tabernacles in the wilderness, a feast in which the people of God were reminded of the purpose of the Exodus, the purpose of their deliverance, the purpose of their salvation, to dwell with the Lord, to dwell with the Lord in the tabernacle of the Lord, to worship the Lord. The goal of your salvation, the goal of your deliverance, it is worship. Worship in the presence of the Lord. The goal of your salvation on the day of the Lord is the worship of God in the kingdom of glory. Another echo of Exodus in Zechariah chapter 14 concerns the division of all the people into two camps: those who worship God and those who do not worship God. In the Exodus, you either belonged to the people of Egypt or you belonged to the people of Israel. You belonged to those who worshipped the Lord, or you belonged to those who worshipped idols. In the Exodus, you either belonged to the people of Egypt, or you belonged to the people of Israel, to the people of God. You could not belong to both. You could not belong to neither. You belonged to one, or you belonged to the other. You were counted among the people of God, or you were counted among the enemies of God. Consider those Egyptians who left with the people of God. Consider those Egyptians who participated in the Exodus. They could only do so by forsaking their heritage in Egypt. They could only do so by forsaking the inheritance of Egypt. Is this not what we have read in the letter of Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, concerning Moses, who was raised in the house of Pharaoh, who was raised as a son of Egypt? He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt. This is what Christ meant when he said that he came to bring division even among families, even within a family. You cannot serve two masters. You are a son of God, or you are a son of Pharaoh. You are the offspring of the woman, or you are the offspring of the serpent. If you think that the decision to follow after God is no longer a costly decision as it was in the day of Moses, consider your brother or sister in China who is required to give up the privileges of the ruling party in order to follow after Christ. Your brothers and sisters throughout the world choose to be mistreated with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of this world. Your brothers and sisters throughout the world consider the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of this world. The cost of discipleship can be great. In Zechariah chapter 14, as in the Exodus, there are only two camps. There are only two cities. There are only two peoples. One belongs to God. The other does not. One is blessed by God. The other is cursed by God. You cannot belong to both. You cannot belong to neither. You must belong to one or the other. The one to which you belong, it will be made manifest on the day of the Lord. It will be made manifest in the day of God's judgment. As it was in the ninth plague of the plagues upon Egypt. Exodus chapter 10, verses 21 through 23, the Lord says to Moses, "Stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, a darkness to be felt." So Moses stretches out his hand toward heaven, and there was pitch darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days. But all the people of Israel had light where they lived. As in the day of creation, so also in the day of judgment, God will separate the light from the darkness, and He will separate His people from His enemies. His people will dwell in that light forever and ever, but His enemies will endure that darkness forever and ever. In Zechariah chapter 14, the camp of God's enemies is a place of darkness. It is a place of death. It is a place of uncleanness. In that camp, in that place, their bodies rot as the body of a corpse rots. Their body rots as the body of one who is dead. That place is a place of death. It is a place of uncleanness. But as that place is a place of death, as that place is a place of curse, as that place is a place of uncleanness, so the place for God's people, the city of Jerusalem, the city of God, that place is a place of life. That place is a place of blessing. That place is a place of holiness. In Zechariah chapter 14, verse 20, we read that on the day of the Lord, there shall be inscribed on the bells of the horses, "Holy to the Lord." Why is that significant? Why is it worth mentioning? Notice what follows concerning the pots. The pots in the house of the Lord shall be as the bowls before the altar. And not only this, but verse 21, every pot in Jerusalem and Judah shall be holy to the Lord of hosts. Why does Zechariah chapter 14 end with the holiness of the bells of Jerusalem? Why does Zechariah chapter 14 end with the holiness of the pots and bowls of Jerusalem? It's telling you something. It's telling you something about the kingdom of God and glory. It's telling you something about who you are to be in that kingdom of glory, of what you are to be in that kingdom of glory. What was the holy place in Israel? What was the holy place in Israel? It wasn't Judah. It wasn't Jerusalem. It wasn't even the temple. The holy place of Israel was the sanctuary within that temple. The sanctuary was the holy place. That place was holy, and all its vessels were holy. Everything outside that place was common. But here in Zechariah chapter 14, we find that nothing is common. All that exists in Zechariah chapter 14 is either unclean, unholy, or holy. There is nothing in that city, there is nothing in that land that is common. Everything is holy to the Lord. The holiness of the sanctuary extends beyond the sanctuary to the very borders of Jerusalem, to the very borders of Judah. In fact, it would be better to say not that the holiness of the Lord extends beyond the sanctuary, but that the sanctuary now extends to the borders of Jerusalem and Judah. The Jerusalem and Judah as a whole has become the sanctuary of the Lord, the holy place of the Lord, so that every vessel within those borders, however ordinary, is now holy. No vessel is common. Every vessel is holy. Every vessel is a vessel of the sanctuary. This holiness, it extends even to the bells of the horses of that city. Amazingly, written upon the bells of the horses is nothing less than what was written upon the forehead of the high priest, holy to the Lord. Why was holy to the Lord written upon the head of the high priest? Because the high priest entered into the most holy place to behold the face of the Lord. Everyone, everything in that city, in that land, is in the presence of the Lord, dwells before the face of the Lord. Zechariah chapter 14 is a vision of that day when the most holy place of God will extend to the borders of His kingdom. It is a vision of that day, Revelation chapter 21, verse 16, when the holy city of Jerusalem comes down out of heaven from God, when its length and width and height are revealed as equal. The dimensions of the most holy place, the dimensions of God's dwelling place, the dimensions of the place of God's rest, they are the dimensions of His kingdom in glory. The dimensions of that place in which you will dwell. Zechariah chapter 14 is a vision of that day when everything in that city, when everything in that kingdom will be holy to the Lord. Zechariah chapter 14 is a vision of that day when nothing unclean will ever enter it, when no one who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If that holiness extends even to the horses, even to the animals, even to the pots, what does it mean for you? That day will come. When you will be most holy to the Lord. But that day has also already come in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus, who suffered the cursed death of the cross. Christ Jesus, the stone that was despised by men, but is chosen and precious in the sight of God. The stone that was rejected by men, which has become the cornerstone. As you come to Him, you are being built up as a spiritual household to be a holy priesthood. You will be holy, even as you are now holy. Though you are unclean, in Christ you are clean. Though you are unholy, in Christ you are now holy. You are now holy to the Lord. And if you are holy, how then shall you live? If you are holy, how then shall you live? As one who is unclean? As one who is unholy? That is not who God has saved you to be. That is not what God has saved you to be. That is not who you are any longer. You have been saved to worship the Lord. You have been saved to worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. You have been saved for holiness. For you are the temple of the living God. Second Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. Zechariah chapter 14 is a revelation of the end. It reminds you of your end. And it is a warning against those who neglect that end. To be holy, as the Lord your God is holy. You have been saved for worship. You have been saved for holiness. You are holy to the Lord.
strive after that holiness. You are holy to the Lord. Strive after that holiness without which no one will see God. Let us pray.